Blog Talk Radio.
It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, two guys who aren't smart enough to realize you shouldn't be working the Friday before a long weekend, here they are, Patch and Switch.
It's a long weekend this weekend?
Yes, it is, actually.
Oh my goodness, I wonder why there are so many parking spots available downstairs in the parking garage.
It's a bank holiday weekend.
Yeah.
As they would say.
A bank holiday? You mean all the banks are closed on Monday?
All the banks are closed on Monday.
Don't worry about this.
You won't be able to get any money.
Okay, so. My audio engineer is telling me I need to crank this up a little bit more, so
okay.
I'll just do this and see if that happens.
All right, that works.
There we go. We'll see what happens. It's good to have someone's actually listening to the production quality of this fine,
it's
established
actually good that
we
actually have somebody listening to the show.
I know. It makes it much more interesting. We know we always have at least one listener. One listener is always there.
You've got to start somewhere. Hey, so welcome to another exciting episode of the Patch and Switch Show. We got folks in the chat room. Should we say hello?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's say hello to Bartolo, AZ Growler Guy, J-Shock, as always. Mr. Beckman has joined us, as has Bender. There's really no other way to say it. I mean, just say Michael. You just have to say Bender.
It's always something urgent.
Exactly. And then there is Vizio MVP.
Mr. John up in Ottawa. Up in the Canadas of Mr. Ottawa. It's very good to see him up here.
Up there.
Veronica just joined us.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Veronica.
It's nice to see that the we got to send out reminders for the meeting request of the webinar a little bit earlier.
Yes.
So that we can get all the people to join us. That's
yes,
what we have
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. Schedule blockout. Yeah. Schedule blockout.
In case you are here for the very first time, and I don't know.
As I am.
As you are, yes, thank you. This is Blog Talk Radio. This is a chat call-in show. If you did want to get a hold of us, you can reach us with the good old-fashioned POTS line at 646-595-4888. Or if you have the Skypes and you're on the Blog Talk Radio page and logged in with an account.
A free account.
You are able to hit the Skypes window and then call in and we'd be able to patch you through. If you don't have an account, you're more than welcome to go off and sign up for one. Get the free one at the bottom of the list, and you can also join the chat room, where we tend to have a lot of banter back and forth.
The chat room is really what this show is about, actually.
Oh, I know, it is. It's like we could
they,
just have
they
the
don't
chat
want
room.
To listen to us.
No,
they
no,
don't want to chat the chat room.
They're chatting. They got us in the background. They might be able to hear us and that sort of stuff. You know, like, really, do you really want to have Patch and Switch in your ears at your desk? You know, it's just
probably
drinking
not.
Coffee at 9 o'clock on a Friday before the long weekend. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
All right.
But here, man, we're here.
We're here.
We're good.
We're up, and we enjoy being
and you know
here.
What? Producer Boy is coming back from his long vacation in the North Carolinas on Monday. Or, no, not Monday, Tuesday. And
Bartolo says you mean noon, right? Because we realize that there's more than just one.
It's a worldwide audience. Yes. I forgot about that. Sorry, I thought the whole world resolved around Pacific Coast time.
Bender's drinking beer on the patio, and Beckman's eating lunch during the show.
Wow.
I like Bender's idea.
I like that. I'm just still on my first cup of coffee.
That's my
definitely. So
you've got your shake there too.
So I was saying, I'll get there, man.
All right.
It's very thick. It coats the throat.
Yeah.
It's just too thick to talk.
Okay.
So the producer boy that has definitely moved up in the world of things. He's the one that's trying to negotiate the new contract for securing some dedicated space for us. A new underground bunker that's actually going to be dedicated and available to us. Special RFID key card passes to get in. I'm working on trying to get the five-finger handprint biometric scanning device as well. No retina scanner. That's,
evil red light that talks
I wear
to
glasses.
You?
The retina
sorry.
Scanner doesn't work
Switch.
Through the glasses.
You're not allowed in this room, Switch.
Switch, what are you doing? What are you doing, Switch?
Veronica said she just inhaled the breakfast.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good. What was it, I wonder? Do you think? I bet you she's a breakfast sandwich type person.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm
I think
sure.
so. Like a little Egg McMuffin with some eggs and some bacon.
McMuffin?
Yeah, I think so. That
all right. I see.
So he's back on Tuesday trying to finish my story. I've got a meeting with him to go off and to reserve the room. We'll find out if it's going to work or not. We're still in negotiations, and we'll see.
Contract negotiations with the new underground bunker.
Forthcoming.
So that we don't have to keep trying to kick people out of this underground bunker to get in and
it's,
do the show.
And, you know, it's always difficult to reserve a underground bunker boardroom the day of, and so I'm glad that you got on the ball and did this last night.
Yeah. It might have been 2 in the morning, but I still did it last night.
Just as long as we had it before we arrived here. That's the important part, because it's always a pain in the
Veronica had yogurt and raspberries today.
Oh, okay. Not bad.
All right.
I'm going for the shake.
Better asks, where's Chris from L.A.? I haven't heard from Chris from L.A. Since he called in before a few shows ago. We'll have to see if we can get Chris from L.A. back on the line.
I thought he was, wasn't he going to the VMworld conference or something like that? I thought he was making a guest appearance.
He's probably doing a movie or something. I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know. And Esposito has joined us, so welcome.
Shall we get started with the show? We have 5 segments to do, 5 sections.
Sure.
We just want to keep
I
on
can't
chatting.
Believe it. We haven't wasted 20 minutes of the show before we even get into it.
I know. We're getting too efficient. Is that what it is? Maybe we have to add in a 6th dedicated segment or something.
I don't know that I can count that high.
Yeah. So...
I think the problem is that we know that it's a holiday weekend and we're just accelerating things, even though the show will be the same amount of time regardless of how fast we talk.
I will say the band sounded very nice today.
Yeah, the band has done some work.
They're getting better with their volume control.
They are in understanding that announcer boy does his announcement at pretty much the same point in time in the song, so they need to kind of turn it down a little.
Right.
And play a little lower as we talk over in the end. So,
yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's see. Chat room. Oh, Frederick. Frederick is in. And J-Shock says, congrats on a new gig. Did Frederick get a new gig? I haven't heard these things.
He got the job as a second trombonist in the symphony?
I don't know. I don't know. Chef?
Could be.
Pork. Sorry.
Make it some meatballs.
Hey, look, PowerShell window just popped up.
Oh, you got to love those. Oh, geez. A whole bunch of PowerShell windows are popping up. You've got some security patches coming down, I think.
I think I do. Yes, I think I have some IT policies.
So to start the show off, we're about to sign into the show, and we're using the Skypes to be able to bring this to you. And to kind of simplify things, we got a bunch of microphones that are plugged into a bunch of different things to be able to make it so that it works.
Wait a minute. Hang on.
What?
Stop.
Huh? What? We had a blip?
Frederick says he's got a job at Crayon.
Crayon?
Is this the same, crayons? Like Crayola?
Wow. That's very creative.
That'd be awesome.
That's very sweet.
That'd be awesome. Because, we count the number of segments in the show based on the number of crayons we have in our box.
Yes.
All right, continue on with your story. Sorry.
So today seems to be a day of updating because as soon as we fired up the laptops and got them all set to go, the Skypes all of a sudden immediately said, no, excuse me.
As says Frederick, because he says, no, it's not that crayon, it's a LAR. But
okay. Yeah. So it went ahead and decided it needed an update. So it went off, did its update, and I decided to go get my coffee. And then came back, and it was done, and you were trying to log on. So apparently it's working because we are able to dial in.
And I haven't actually had this particular device up and running over the past probably week and a half.
Oh, yeah?
So I had some updates, office updates, actually, that had to run literally as we were doing the intro to the show. So hopefully we'll still be in the chat room today.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully there's no reboots from those automatic PowerShell scripts that are running off in the background.
Exactly. IT policies.
Nice.
So the first segment of the show is From the Trenches, which is stories. Stories of what's happening in your work world today. You feel free to join us if you want or mention what's going on in your world in the chat rooms. You've been doing anything this week? Please tell me you're not working on a cluster.
This actually moved some clusters.
Stop.
I did.
Okay.
So...
The never-ending cluster story.
The reason why I have the meeting with the old producer boy was because his staff, he actually has staff, asked me to ensure that all of the equipment...
His staff's just unpaid interns?
They're actually full-fledged
blue
badges.
How does he
get
budget for this and we have to use unpaid interns?
He's got full-fledged blue badge at everybody. So they basically asked if we would ensure that all of the lab gear that we use for remote connectivity, for demos, for keynotes... gets moved from room A over to room B because they're decommissioning room A. And that required a lot of logistical stuff to be able to move things. and consolidates, and it's fun to see that I can just go in, shut some stuff down, make sure it's all good, and then I say, okay, ready to go, and then some of the interns come over and basically unwire the stuff, and then they simply move the entire rack down the hallway, around the corner, and into the bigger room, and then line it up where it's supposed to go, and then plop it in, and we start to recable stuff back up again.
You know, it's not only good to see that you can actually shut down a server and have it come back up again in another room, but it's also good to see that they were smart enough not to let you move the rack down the hallway.
I didn't say it came back up right away.
Oh.
There were some issues that I had to work
with. Sorry, I assumed.
By the way,
Uber Geek Girl has joined us, so
oh, nice.
Hello.
So one of the cluster in the boxes is using a hardware-based RAID solution from LSI, and that particular box is not too happy. So I had to give it a little bit of extra loving care and attention. And then more interestingly enough, the one that I was the most concerned with, actually the unpaid UK intern was helping me out do this. The other box that I had an issue with was a good old-fashioned server that is affectionately known as DPE server. It was also part of this move that had to happen, and that was a bit more scary, having it come back up again. We had a two-hour window to get it done, and I think I took an hour and 59 minutes and 52 seconds to get it operational again. It's old hardware. It's got an old iSCSI SAN from HP it's attached up to. There's some nasty-looking orange lights that are on that. You know how much I love SANs. It came back up. It's happy. And I am now dutifully going to be I've got actually today is the deadline for business owners to come back and respond to my request about the data that needs to be moved over and the new securities that are going
to
be
going
on. Oh,
was that email you sent me that I need to?
Yes, you have.
Was that I need to pay attention to?
That little red bang that's on it
actually
means that you need to look at it.
Oh.
And so I've got a nice...
I'll get back to you on Monday.
I've got a nice couple command lines of PowerShell.
Sorry, Tuesday, Monday's a holiday.
Yes. I got a nice couple lines of PowerShell to Robocopy to do some stuff.
Whose idea was it to actually have the deadline on the Friday before a long holiday weekend?
That gives people time to realize they didn't do something over the weekend and get back to me on Tuesday. That's the super secret plan that's in my head.
So you already knew I was going to procrastinate on it. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
No worries.
Now, the one problem that came up with that was the fact that a certain, I guess you would say, skip person in the reporting chain didn't think that anyone was responding, was concerned that all the data was not going to be moved.
Uh-oh.
To which I had to do a drive-by yesterday just to confirm, don't worry, we have enough space to do the entire move. I'm just doing this as a more aggressive...
You're being proactive
at trying to...
archiving old information.
It's like a closet. You got to purge it once in a while, right? Do you really need to have development tools, information... for how to develop apps for IE7 anymore?
I don't know.
So that's a question I got to ask someone.
Right.
Do we need to have it so that this group of people still has right access to everything, or can I restrict it down a bit more to try to prevent some sprawl? So I'm actually being proactive with it.
Wow.
That was my fun.
I didn't know that proactiveness happened in IT. Usually
but the best part
sort
is
of emergency
the place where it's going
it.
To. The place where it's going to is another cluster in the box. That actually has a undisclosed amount of terabytes, because I don't want to say
it. You have a super secret cluster.
I have a super secret cluster that's already up and running that no one knows the full total storage capacity, because whenever I create a share, I put on quotas on the folder structure, and they only get what they asked for. So I'm being proactive.
You only get what you ask for, more.
You ask for 3 terabytes, I'll give you 6, and no more.
Because
I look like I'm nice, right?
Yeah.
And you know, that was actually our friend Naz, who was looking for storage for videos from Channel 9. She used
Best
to,
producer in the world.
She used to do this with a 300 gigabyte share, and now she has 6 terabytes. So she's ecstatic.
Oh, yeah.
Ecstatic.
I would imagine.
So that was my fun, man. Decommissioning all that. And guess what? Is still in the hallway outside of the now cleaned out server room.
The old server?
EMC SAN.
Ah!
They haven't come to pick it up yet. And I said, don't worry about that. If it's not picked up by Friday, just put it in the loading dock. Get out of the way.
There you go.
That's me, man. Busy. Busy, busy, busy.
I have been busy. Over the last basically 24 hours straight, I have been busy.
Doing what?
Because somebody in this room who is a co-host of this radio program.
What?
May or may not have dumped something in my lap.
I asked for assistance.
No, you pretty much said you have to. I was having a conversation in another room across the hall, and you come over and you go, oh, there he is. There's the guy that built it. He'll fix it in front of, like, two other people who are far more senior than I am.
Challenge accepted. The gauntlet has been thrown.
I don't know that there was a challenge. It was like, pretty much a...
It's like I walked over to you with a big fish and slapped you in the face.
Yeah, almost. So... If Sherman set the Wayback Machine,
yes,
and we go back, it's probably been at least a year.
For what?
That we actually set up these FTP servers running up in the Azures. Actually, it's been longer than
years.
A year. It's been 2 years. 2 years.
Yep.
I remember. And I think we mentioned this on the show.
There was a period where you didn't talk to me for a while, and that's been about 2 years.
Okay, gotcha. Just to quickly bring everybody up to speed. There are a series of FTP servers that we use to distribute very, very, very large sets of content to the rest of the super secret patch and switch world.
So we're talking like 856 multi-part RAR files.
Exactly. And directory structures of 227.
Yeah. And though these aren't like videos or anything. These are
now JShock is like FTP servers, and here's the thing. It's 20-plus-year-old technology. We were talking on the on the Ping Show a couple weeks ago, facebook.com/theping show. And Mark and I were talking about technology from 20 years ago. You brought in your awesome Commodore 64.
Rocking.
FTP servers, the great thing about FTP servers is when you get them out there, they're fast, right? So you get, as long as you've got good bandwidth, you're going to get high speed. There really is not a better solution out there to copy massive amounts of data all around the world.
As far as being easy and ubiquitous.
Yeah, simple, ubiquitous, and
right.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a number of these FTP servers located all over the globe so that people in various locations and data centers can access this content, these massive amounts of content. So we have, no, Kyle Beckman just said patchandswitchwares.com. No. That was awesome, though. We need to have producer boy check to see if that's available. No. This is actually... for the day job. So it's content for the day job. So I set up these FTP servers up in the Azures a long time ago, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They've just been running. I mean, I haven't done a single thing with them since literally like the third day after setting them up.
And these are 2012 boxes that have auto-updating turned on, and they've got FTP services loaded.
Right. They're basically IaaS VMs.
Right.
Right? Infrastructure as a Service VMs running up in the Azures. And we've got several terabytes of disk storage and everything else. And it's server 2012 FTP. So you come across all of me and you say, hey, look, this isn't working. I says, what do you mean it's not working? You know, and so we connect up. There's two basic issues here, and I'm going to try not to derail the entire show with talking about this. But the first issue is, for some reason, one of the free Zilla FTP clients is not reading the entire directory structure
right.
on the source.
Right.
Server.
This is a multi.
It is a cluster.
Multi-level.
Server,
2,000
like levels.
I want to say 2,481 files, at least 250-odd directories that are nested.
Andrew, we've been pluralizing everything for about the last year, but glad that you finally noticed. Yes, go hit the beer fridge again.
Yeah.
So. First of all, the FileZillas aren't seeing all the files. It would only transfer about 250, and it would end up being like 300 meg out of instead of the
300
gig
or whatever,
whatever it should be. So then we tried to bring in another FTP client, which saw the source directories just fine, but when creating passive connections would disconnect after five.
Yeah, we're looking at the logs, and
right.
You'd actually see it connect up to the different ports because passive FTP goes off instead of using port 21, establishes
right,
a connection
like
on
10,922.
Randomly assigned, but you went ahead and you locked down. I want to only use.
Yeah,
the,
because
the
in Azure we have to open up endpoints.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've opened up 15 endpoints for passive FTP.
And so you're telling me everything I already know. I don't understand. Is this
all right,
working now?
So, well, we have an audience. You're not the only person listening. We have at least three people listening to the show. In regards to this, the other FTP client would only connect like five and upload five and then disconnect. It would time out, port timeout, socket timeout. cannot create socket errors.
So one client can't find it all. The other client would
right.
find it all, but then would only transfer five and then die.
Right. Well, I couldn't find a solution for the first client. And I'm just like, all right, write it off. The second client is finding everything. Now let's go find out why it's disconnecting. And then I see the number of concurrent transfers, so I open that up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because it'll go, it'll do 10 concurrently. And then it'll do another 10 and then stop.
It's whacked.
So I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be something with the FTP configuration. So I literally spend hours going over everything tooth and nail on the FTP server.
This is just 2012 FTP off of IIS.
2012
so
RQ.
It's not exactly a very intuitive, you know, there's a couple icons on IIS.
But there's not a lot of things you can do on an FTP
server. It's FTP.
Yeah, exactly. So after spending time on that, I then focus in on the client, and I probably changed every possible configuration on that client, and
nice.
Still
no
get
problem.
The same results. It would just at one point one of the sockets would hang and die. So then I go in and I look at, okay, is there something funny with the way that Azure deployed it? Because I noticed that we actually had our VIP, right?
Mm-hmm.
The virtual IP address is made publicly available. The VIP had actually changed. That was actually the root cause of why you got me involved, didn't
right.
it? Because you couldn't connect to the servers to begin with.
Because
right?
the FTP configuration on the server requires that you have the public address for the passive configuration.
Correct.
To put
yeah,
it in.
You could connect into the FTP server, but you couldn't upload or download anything
right.
because it wouldn't, because you're telling it to do passive and it wouldn't.
So,
so we fixed that. Well, it turns out, and this is a public service announcement, when there was an update in July, to the Azure IaaS VMs, because there was a big update. They moved us. That's why the VIP changed. They actually changed the way the endpoints are created.
Yeah.
So our endpoints were previously created using PowerShell. But the old endpoint method, the way I read this article, and I love having access to internal tools because that's how I actually found this, that I found an internal case on this, is that... when you create an endpoint using the UI, the GUI, the endpoint wants to also create a basically a listener, right? So basically, so that it can check to see if the port's active and when it's not active and everything else. And I start reading into this, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, that makes sense, because if the Azure firewall, right, that's sitting in the Azure data center, doesn't see any traffic going on, it's going to shut it down.
Yeah.
Right. So. Turns out the solution is to create the ports with PowerShell, which I did. However, the old way of creating them was still, for some reason, creating that listening port. And it's not called listening port. It's totally escaping my mind what they call it. But it's basically the way for the machine to ping it. You need to create it without it. So this morning, at very, very early in the morning, I want to say 1 a.m. or so, I went through and on our machine, I actually removed all the endpoints using PowerShell, created all the endpoints again using a new PowerShell snippet of code, which I actually went and found, which is awesome. It's a lot smaller than the one I was using.
Yeah.
And recreated the endpoints.
Nice.
Haven't had a problem since. And we're transferring at 14 connections at a time.
Oh, okay.
So to transfer all of that data in both folders that we were talking about, you know how big those are?
Yeah.
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours for 300 plus gig.
It was more than 300 gig. 300 gig was just the one folder.
Oh, that's right.
It was
that's
both
right.
folders.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
3.5 hours.
Wow.
So at any rate, if you're running FTP services and for some reason your passive FTP keeps disconnecting in Azure, just recreate your endpoints.
Yeah.
For the passive connections, that's all I had to do. I didn't have to go in, rerun, you know, any firewall rules,
so
stop and restart the service. It's just for some reason... that it, even though there was traffic flowing on the ports, what would happen is the minute that one of the uploads would stop on that port, Azure would just shut the port down because it's like there's no traffic going on here.
Wow.
There's nothing here pinging me.
Now, is this something along the lines of changing our attitude towards how we deal with infrastructure once again, with the sense that you and I are going to continue to figure this out, try to figure it out, bash on it, figure it out to get it work, as opposed to simply just delete and recreate.
Well, so,
in the
so cloud you're exactly right there, because essentially that's almost what I did.
Yeah.
I mean, I left the FTP service up and running.
Right.
My hesitation is that there were several terabytes of data already in that disk, and I could move the disk from one subscription to another, but that, you know, that caused some consternation. The thing is for me, I was spending so much time looking at client configurations, not thinking, and then what clued me onto this is that I tried the upload onto another server, got the exact same
in one of the other
behavior.
Data centers too.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And which is something that we had talked about doing yesterday, probably about 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Which I just, again, being the old school IT guy, I'm just going to pound my head against it until I figure it out.
Yep.
And it turns out the reality is had I just gone and I now have a script that will actually do most of the deployment automated. I probably should have just done that and then reconnected the disk and everything else.
So it's the good news is that it's along the lines of, hey man, you have the skills, you're still going to be able to use them. And this,
oh, absolutely.
You're just reapplying them inside
and I mean, these are skills. FTP servers, man, that's 20-year-old technology, dude. And I've been running FTP servers for a long time, which is why I was completely baffled. I mean, I was frustrated because everything in my mind says that it's configured correctly.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's one thing for a client, you know, to some reason not see entire directory structures. It's another have disconnects. Disconnects on a port that's got 20 other open connections, and then it socket timeouts on you.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Now, the good thing is you've now taken this PowerShell script, and you've, I'm assuming, run it on my other three servers in different data centers already?
I have, actually, yes.
Good. So we know they're
change
all...
control. There was no change control, so hopefully folks in Europe who were awake at the time weren't connected to the FTP server. Actually, I can tell you there were no connections to the FTP server.
But the best part
I looked
is that
before I did it.
You know exactly every single one's done correctly because the script is repeatable.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely, because that's, I mean, I created one script that had to remove all of the previous ports and another script that went and built the new ones.
Sweet.
And the great thing is the new ones actually uses a variable that increments itself.
Nice. It's so awesome. Are you going to be able to share that script so I can...
Yeah, I can share that.
I'll put it on the blogs?
Yeah, put it on the blogs. We'll blog about it.
That'll be a guest blog post working with Mr. Switch over there for regularitguy.com. That's a total plug for the new redesigned website.
There you go.
If you haven't been there recently,
check it out.
I even have some new graphics.
Oh, there you go. Sweet. Veronica, the answer to your question is now. She wanted to know when we get to the vodka part of the show. So if you wonder why I'm actually not really coherent and I'm having to repeat myself, well, I may have had a few drinks. No, I'm just kidding.
I thought that cup that says Microsoft on it has coffee in it.
No, it is coffee.
Okay.
There's nothing in it.
Coffee with vodka.
No, that's actually, I believe the vodka actually helped me solve the problem last night.
See, that's probably what it was. Probably what it was. Gives you an alternate perspective on things.
We were thinking that we need to, you know, we've done remote shows before, and we've done remote other shows at brew pubs. I was thinking, when we were talking about this at lunch the other day, I was thinking maybe we should do patch and switch one morning at the distillery.
Ooh.
Before they get ready to make their next batch of vodka.
I wonder if they'd be open to that. You think so?
AZ Growler Guy, coffee flavored vodka is outstanding. However, it's very, very pricey, at least the one that I've managed to try.
That's just like an infused solution?
Yeah, but man, it's made locally. It's a combination of a high-end coffee shop here in addition to a local distillery.
Just
it was
buy
amazing.
Yourself a bottle of Smirnoff and then get yourself a couple of espresso shots and pour it together.
No.
Doesn't that work that way?
No.
You can't taste the difference of vodka.
Stop it. Veronica wants Bloody Mary. I do too.
See, for me, it's a Caesar. It's the Canadian in me. Sorry.
Yeah,
I don't like Bloody Marys.
No,
too thick.
You've got to have your Clamato.
I need the clam juice inside of it. I don't know what it is. The clam juice just makes it.
Ew.
It's it's good. So that brings us up to the next episode segment, which is beer money.
Beer money.
We have a sound for that, but you didn't play it. So
That's all right.
Okay.
They're talking about booze in the chat room. I got distracted. My bad. Sorry.
Beer money.
Have you done any local support? Now your local support, your neighbors, friends, family. Did you do any computer tech stuff when you went down south? No.
No, nothing, man. They're an Apple house. I don't tech support Apple stuff.
Ah. Well,
I don't know how to tech support
Wi-Fi
Apple stuff.
Or the 3G.
No.
Or,
you know what? It's been relatively slow because even though I came back from vacations earlier, the fam stayed away and continued the vacations until Tuesday of this week. So they haven't been home all that long. And I still need to follow up with my mother-in-law about her remote reinstall of the Vista machine going up to Windows 8.1.
Yeah.
So she has.
I haven't done any.
She has the ISO file, and I need to basically walk her through how to format her USB stick that she has to be able to support booting from USB, and then copying the contents of the ISO file. Is someone like building something?
Yeah, I believe there's a construction project going on right above our room because they know that we're live on the air.
Nice.
I guess mine.
It's been quiet.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really done any beer money. I did have some guys come down to my office and ask if I had a USB stick with just 8.1 on it so they could wipe and reinstall some devices. But
when I had another colleague just down the road here from me down the hall, they were asking about borrowing a USB device to be able to do a Pixie boot off their Surface 3 device.
Yeah,
recently they had some.
Oh, I went through issues. That game.
Had some issues.
Here's the thing. You can find USB Ethernet devices everywhere in this building.
Totally.
You just can't find the one that's Surface branded. I actually found one.
Yeah? So
there
you're telling me
one.
I should buy one. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
I definitely
and I've actually said,
having a machine that needs to have that at some point in my life.
Yes. You should buy at least one because it's if you're going to do Pixie Boot, right? Because it's the Surface branded one on the Surface.
I think Asus would work, though.
It does not.
I thought it did.
It does
because
not because there is something in the firmware that
what?
Is specific to Surface. So this device right here, my brilliant, awesome Surface Pro 3,
right.
That's what I was looking to reinstall from. So, J-Shock says his – this will do a Pixie Boot?
That'll do a Pixie Boot.
On a 3.
On a Surface 3. You
see?
Did it.
I tell you. I
so J-Shock has this diamond USB 3 hub with gigabit Ethernet adapter. This thing is awesome.
It's a gigabit. The drivers aren't built in.
I'm sure it comes up as one
I'm
of the busy. Pretty standard.
Because remember, you and I used to have a gigabit adapter that was USB based, and that was the earlier images, though, I guess.
No, that was RT.
Ah.
RT wouldn't see that particular one. The pros see it just fine.
Okay.
The pros see it just fine.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
So there you go. Random service knowledge. Yes.
So that almost covers
the next. We either need to get one of these, which I think we actually do because it's got three USB 3 ports on it.
Is that the power connection to it as well?
Yes.
So
you can add power.
So it can be powered or unpowered.
Yeah, you can add it. It looks like DC.
Okay, now I'm jealous.
But the problem is it doesn't actually. I hate it when manufacturers do this. They don't put what exactly the power should be.
Nice.
Yeah.
I got a question for you since you've had this for a while. What is the best mini display port adapter to be able to have outputs? Like the brand name.
Monoprice.
Anything.
Monoprice?
You don't, I mean, really.
Go to Monoprice.
Just go to Monoprice or whatever.
Because I found one I forget where it was, that basically.
Huawei.
It wasn't Huawei. It was a mini display that comes out, but then it actually has both HDMI and VGA in one adapter. So it was 2-to-1.
Yeah.
You only could use one or the other.
Right.
So I'm thinking for the conference. I've got some conferences coming up I'm going to in September. I've got to present at, and I'm not sure if they're going to have digital out or not. So this
Kyle
might be a good option.
Kyle Beckman says check cables to go. The other thing that I did, because I needed it, and I needed it stat, is that Fry's has, it was a Belkin. And Amazon had it on sale for like 70% off or whatever. Well, Fry's is going to match it.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So, but J-Shock just published up a link. Is that to the USB 3? Okay, that's to USB 3.
Now, is that your affiliate link that you're giving out there?
Just
dude, it's $37. That's cheap.
Nice.
All right, sorry. All right, anyway,
okay,
back to the show.
So we're actually jumping right past the... beer money right in the RAM spending. So
we're not going to talk beer talk?
Well,
there's really not a lot of beer talk because you haven't been around. We haven't been making beer. We did have a meeting.
I did make some beer.
We
down south.
Oh, yeah, down south. Yeah, that's right.
I basically went and traveled down. Believe it or not, I built a 12x12 platform that is inside of a workspace and set up a brewery, basically, for our buddy.
It looks outstanding. Beer Team 6.
Beer Team South. 6 Extension. He doesn't have a name for the team
South
yet.
South Campus.
Southern Campus?
Yeah, Southern Campus.
So he's all set. But it's funny because when you run beer through the making process on new equipment, you figure out all the little tiny tweaks you have
the
to
happen. The nuances that we just are used to with the gear that we run.
And so They had the bazooka screen, which attaches to the faucet to be able to screen stuff off as you're going through the
thing. Your grains don't come into your
He put the
match.
Bazooka screen on, or, plus sorry, he put a false bottom on, and then he put the grains on top. The problem is that the false bottom kept the bulk of the grains off, but it let the sediment go through and it clogged the bazooka
little
screen.
Thin stuff that makes bazooka
there's no way to clean up the bazooka screen because the false bottom's in the way.
Huh.
So he needed
word
to...
Word
of advice,
don't do that.
Don't do the bazooka screen. And the
if you've got a false bottom, no.
Yeah. So then he forgot
false bottom,
he forgot to move the bazooka screen from that pot into the boil pot. And so when it came time to throw in the hops, he actually used loose leaf hops, which is nice. Did the boil. Everything was all good. And then it comes time to use the counterflow chiller, which I made. My first counterflow chiller from scratch, which is very nice. The problem was... whole leaf hops going down into the counterflow chiller.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
No?
No.
Were you able to clear it out?
No.
Or did you have to replace it?
Compressed air works wonders to blow through stuff. It was rather creative. So the first batch of beer probably should never be drunk from that first run.
Yeah.
But it is currently set this weekend to go and be set in the secondary.
Just really quick, we did have a meeting of Beer Team 6 to talk about the potential brews for the next
three members of Beer Team 6 got together. Mr. Sound Guy over there was not part of this. This was simply a backyard gathering.
Yeah, it was ad hoc.
We had quorum, but we didn't have full capacity.
Correct.
And we're just talking about stuff that we want to do for our fall brewing schedule, new equipment we want to purchase.
I've been thinking about that Amber Stout. Though technically you can't call it a stout because a stout has to be dark, according to the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to do, like, the Amber Stout sounded good, or the Bock.
Well, what about doing a double Bock?
Well, we have to successfully create a single Bock first.
How about a Bock?
Oh! We're going to have to make that just because we came up with a name. We now have to make the beer.
Bock.
That could work.
Bork Bock. I've got a good option. What I've decided to do is I really enjoyed the Tech Ed brew that we did, which was my first attempt at a Scotch ale. But the difference is, and I might call on your expertise, is I want to smoke the grain beforehand.
Ooh.
So basically taking, you normally have like a big batch of two-row malt that you use for the bulk of the sugars.
Yeah.
And then you have specialty malts, which gives it the flavors and colors. And I found information on how you can roast your own, and the same thing applies for smoking.
And that would actually be
instead
a
of
good
having
project.
So basically, that's a project. You're only doing a couple of projects worth of a couple of pounds worth of malt at a time. And
Fender asks for 20 grains. No, smoking as in like smoky flavor.
Yes. So that stuff there basically is a good option. And I'm figuring I've got timings and different colors and different options, and you're only going to be wasting like a pound, which costs like what, 30 cents or something.
Bye, Uber Geek girl. She has to leave. Sorry.
Okay. Bye bye. Thanks for coming.
And we actually are running out of time on the show.
Well, we get six minutes.
Well, we do. We have anything in the last segment? What is the last segment? Or second to last segment? So we've done random spin. No, we can talk about beer because the next thing is just naming the show.
Of course.
All right. So continue on.
So smoked Scotch ale, I think, is the way to go for mine. And as far as equipment is concerned, I do think, well, one of the more, I guess you would say, adventurous of us is trying to convince us to spend a good lion's share of the cash on a conical fermenter.
I love conical fermenters.
It looks awesome, but that's a very substantial investment that we'd have to make. It's $1,000 for a good one.
I know.
$1,000.
But after talking with the guys at the brewery in Barcelona,
the guys,
talk to the guys down on 133rd Street
for a good hot dog,
they took good care of us. That's a whole other show.
I know, but I don't know. I've got the space. We got the space in the brew house to be able to do it. But that's stepping up the gear. We could definitely do it. Stainless steel conical fermenter as an option, and we could probably even get the one with the steam jacket. To cool it and to heat it.
I was wearing a steam jacket the other day.
It could work.
Had to go out to dinner. They required a jacket. I wore a steam jacket.
No.
I just got the funny look.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
All right. Anyway. Yes, because you don't eat at the restaurants that require you to wear a jacket.
That would be correct. You took me to one in Barcelona.
Correct.
And I was very uncomfortable.
Yes, it was awesome.
I think it was like 150 euros to eat there or something like that.
No, just 100. 50 if you added the wine pairing, but we didn't.
Okay. Well, it was definitely an experience, but yeah, up there. Yeah, that's my plan. I'm not brewing anything this weekend. Taking it easy, getting ready to brew.
We need to get the pump.
The pump is an option, too.
With the high-temperature fitting?
High-temperature hoses, quick release.
Quick release, high-temperature fitting.
Yes, and then some pumping action. And then I'm actually – my significant other comes home. She says, Switch. She calls me Switch.
Why does she call you my name? No, I'm kidding.
Why is the freezer on the ground sideways, lying on its side?
What? Wait a minute.
I showed
Stop,
you. I showed
rewind.
You.
No, what is happening?
I'm in the middle of rewiring my dual stage high voltage temperature control. I want to embed it inside the fridge itself, the freezer itself, as opposed to having a bolt.
Did you actually remove the beer that was fermenting inside there out first before you tipped it outside?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
That's clear.
All right.
That's
okay,
clear.
Good. Just want to make sure.
But it is lying on its side. And so I've now found the appropriate diagrams to ensure that I do not electrocute myself and mix up the negative from the hot. And then we'll be able to set up the connections again.
It's
for
only
my
110 here, though.
It's only 110. It's I've taken that easily through the heart. I'm fine.
You'd be fine with 110. Now
I can do that.
240. Yeah, that's a whole other game.
That's a whole other. It's the amps that kill you, though.
But that's true.
So the
it
amps
is the amperage.
It's only a 15-amp circuit. You can take 15 amps easily.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, J-Shock said, thank God he saved the beer.
Yes.
Again, because it wouldn't. And then you took apart your fridge. You took apart your normal fridge. Is that what inspired you to take apart the other one?
Sort of. That just needed to be done. So it's been a while since I've done a full purging spring cleaning of the fridge. So I took advantage of the fact that I was the only one home and there was no groceries in the house. So I decided to clean up the fridge.
You gotta love that when you go into bachelor mode.
Oh, yeah.
And you have like.
It's great. Like, there's
nothing in there except for the leftovers from the night before when you went to
take out. Three containers of Greek yogurt, some hot dogs, and for some reason, some lettuce. I don't know. That was in the fridge.
Yeah.
So
random lettuce.
Random lettuce. Speaking of lettuce, we should probably name the show. We've got about 2 minutes left. I see the band is knocking on the door over there. So
yeah, they
want to
get in here. So let's name the show. So let's call out some random words. The show has been mostly about beer and Azure today.
Yep. I actually got a question from a person who just found out about the show.
Bender's
How do we come up with the name?
Oh.
And I said, we literally let the audience go through and name it. And he's like, what? Because he was asking us, what's up with Hobbit Vodka?
So back bacon, spackle. Ketchup. Write this down.
Oh, I got to document this?
Yes. You're in charge. Back bacon. No, the band is coming in. Hurry up.
Well, there it is. Oh, there's the band. We're almost ready for you. What is it? Back bacon?
Back bacon, ketchup, and I'm looking for one more word from another person.
Back bacon,
anyone,
ketchup.
Anyone? Bueller? Mm-hmm. Bueller? Something D-O-O
People are leaving
economics.
Us. People are
Otherwise,
leaving us.
Dijon.
Dijon.
AZ Growler guy says, Dijon.
Dijon,
which is different than
the English mustard.
Yes, the English
mustard,
mustard
is yellow and will burn your sinuses out of your head when it's time to eat it. It's very good.
Out of your head?
Out of your head.
Like
you'll
completely?
Have the sinuses will jump out of your face onto the table, slap you a couple times, and say, what are you doing?
Sorry, that made me laugh. That made me laugh.
How do you spell Dijon?
D-I-J-O-N, I believe. And the band has started, which means we've come to the conclusion of another episode of The Patrick Show. I want to say thanks to everybody who's joined us in the chat room. Marcelo, Amy, Crowley Guy, and Tito. Frederick, J-Shock, Al Beckman, Bender, Veronica, Vizio, and Jessica. As we all do. Hey, those of you in the U.S., enjoy your long Labor Day weekend. Those of you in the U.K. just had a bank holiday.
No, Canada gets one.
So, enjoy your holiday. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for joining us. Have a weekend, everybody.